time to meet our My Life guest.
There are places I remember.
Let me introduce you to Robert Crouch from Eastbourne, an environmental health officer turned crime writer. That's quite a change of career you got yourself there, Robert. What happened?
Well, I used to spend a lot of my time out on the district thinking, what would happen if?
Ah.
And I've always been interested in writing, and I just thought, why couldn't an environmental health officer be a detective and solve a crime?
And then you put that idea to paper, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah.
You've been an environmental health officer, or were an environmental health officer, for quite some time, over 30 years.
Yes, that's right.
Always working in the sort of Sussex area?
No. I started my career up north, just north of Manchester, and came down to Eastbourne in 1983, and then moved from Eastbourne to Wealden in 85, and obviously I was there until March last year, when I decided to become a full-time writer.
So what does being an environmental health officer involve? You see, as soon as I think of it, I think about you turning up at people's kitchens, restaurants, cafes and what have you, and finding cockroaches under the sink. I mean, is that it? There's more to it than that, I'm guessing?
Well, find the occasional rat as well. Yes, my main job was food hygiene inspections.
Really? So you would turn up unannounced?
Oh, yes,
places.
Always unannounced, yeah.
Wow. So that's an interesting job, isn't it? Because no one's ever going to be that pleased to see you.
You might be a little bit surprised, actually, because it's a bit like being a bobby on the beat. You get to know a lot of people, and they get to know you, and they get to trust you. So, you know, it isn't always a hostile reception. In fact, it's very rarely a hostile reception.
I suppose because most people are doing a good job.
And you're there to help them, you know. Mm. I mean, we are law enforcement officers, but ultimately the best way to improve things is to work with people, understand the business and make things better.
Mm. What's the worst thing you ever came across, though?
I remember many years ago walking into a pub, and right behind the bar was an open door that looked into a kitchen. And I peered through this door as I was talking to the young lady behind the bar, and I thought, that looks like mouse droppings all over the worktops.
Oh.
And sure enough, there were mouse droppings everywhere.
Really?
And the worst thing was is that they'd cleared a space on the stainless steel and wiped it clean and were making sandwiches on it.
Oh.
Yes, quite. So, needless
extra
to
say, extra mouse droppings with your brie and cranberry or
something like that, yes.
Oh,
it was pretty disgusting. And I did say to the young girl that I said, I don't think you'll be opening today, do you?
Oh, gosh. So is that what happens? You've got the power to immediately shut somewhere down?
Oh, yes. If it's, you know, if things are serious and there's a risk to public health, yeah, we can close it on the spot.
Gosh. Thing is, though, if that happens to a business, I mean, that's curtains, isn't it? Because once that gets out into the public domain that you've got a problem with mice or rats or what have you, no one's going to want to come and eat them, are they?
You say that, but I think people have short memories. That's the trouble.
You can turn it around.
Yeah, and most businesses, I mean, if we do close a place, we put a notice in the window to say we've closed it. But most businesses would rather close voluntarily and say close for refurbishment.
Yeah,
and try
I bet
and
they
hide
would
it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you miss it at all?
Strangely enough, no, because I love writing, and it's probably what I've always wanted to do. So I miss the people and some of my old colleagues who I still keep in touch with, but no, not really.
So it was one day when you were on a job to inspect a pub kitchen, whether it was one with the mouse droppings or not, I don't know, when you had this idea of whether or not you could disguise a murder as a work accident and then, as you said before, have an environmental health officer investigate rather than the police.
That's right. I think it was a combination of things. I remember many years ago I was dealing with a noise complaint which involved a circular saw attached to a farm tractor. And yes, it was noisy. And
I bet.
I'd never seen anything like that before, being a bit of a townie. And, you know, I imagined circular saws to be in factories, not on the back of tractors. And I think that image stuck with me. And when it came to sort of putting ideas together, that image was there, and I thought, what if somebody had an accident with a tractor and a saw and stuff like that?
An accident, inverted commas.
Yes.
So is that, do you only write crime? Is that your only kind of genre?
No, or have you branched out
into other areas?
No. I mean, years ago I used to write this blog, I think from about 2007, about a fictional environmental health officer. It was really me writing about my experience.
Oh, as fictional can that be when that is what you do for
a living? I was trying to present the guilty, really. And I just started this blog. Funnily enough, it started with a radio interview I did for when the smoke-free legislation was coming in.
Oh, right.
And they just wanted somebody to talk about it. And I just wrote about it, and I thought, well, blogging was just coming in those days, and I thought, why not? And it started with that, and it sort of morphed into a sort of mini sitcom in the end with a whole load of characters, and I've taken those characters and put them into the No Accident novel.
I see. So what would you write about in the blogs? And obviously we've heard the story about the mouse droppings. What other things ended up?
I was a manager at the time, and you know, you get all these sort of management phrases like blue skies thinking all these acronyms, and They just strike me as being quite absurd sometimes. And a lot of it was about some of the absurdities that go on in local government. I mean, we were going...
Absurdities in local government, you say? You've shocked us, Robert.
Yes. Nobody would have thought that, would they?
No.
And some of the things were quite sensible and quite normal, but I decided to see if I could make some fun out of them and, you know, send it up a little bit. And that's how it all started, really.
Did your colleagues in local government know you were writing about them on
your
blog?
Oh, yes.
They'd all read it.
A lot of them read it thinking they were in it.
And they weren't?
No. I mean, I was very careful to create completely fictional characters because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Mm. And I'm not sure they'd recognise themselves anyway because we all see ourselves differently from
the way
others see us.
That's true. So your first novel, No Accident, was published, last year.
Yeah, last
June,
yeah.
Yeah. What was that like to actually see your work in print?
When I finally got the paperback copy, that was quite a nice feeling because it's something in your hand. But I remember on the first day it was published on as an e-book, my wife ran in with her phone showing the picture of the cover and saying it's out there, you know. Yeah, so it was very exciting.
I hope she then left a nice review.
She'd already read it before that. She gets to read them first because I value her opinion, and she does tell me when things are not right or when something's a bit silly or
Can she be quite a harsh critic then?
She can be, I would imagine. She's not, but she could be.
Mm. What are you working on at the moment?
The second novel, which is called No Bodies.
Mm. Another crime novel?
Well, it's... The way I sort of put it is that, is there a serial killer on the loose? Because two, possibly three women have gone missing, or have they?
Right. And are all of your books set in Sussex?
Yeah, I love the South Downs and that sort of downland area so much, and... You know, you look at sort of Morse and Oxford and Midsummer Murders, and I think quite often the backdrop's almost one of the characters in some respects.
So this is a serial killer on the loose in Sussex?
Possibly.
Possibly.
I can't possibly say whether it is or it isn't.
Mm. And when you are writing about a place you know very well, how accurate do you have to be? I mean, if you're describing a street, will it be an actual street that you've walked down, or will you use a little bit of artistic license?
No, what I've done is I've created a mythical town to be the centre of a mythical local authority, but everything else around it, like Alfriston, Mainley, East Dean, they're all going to exist exactly as they are. So, yes, I would be very accurate with what's there.
What's the name of your fictional place?
It's called Tollingdon.
Tollingdon,
which is it's the Ingdon from Willingdon, and Polegate, one of the origins of the name Polegate is believed to be Tollgate.
I see.
So that's where the toll comes from. So
I just love the idea that there might be somebody somewhere who reads this book and then goes to look for Tollingdon, you know.
Well, good luck to them.
They'll put, excuse me, I can't find it on my sat-nav anywhere. Can you tell me where Tollingdon is, please?
It'd be nice if they did.
Wouldn't it? Very nice. How can people get hold of either the new book, No Bodies, or the book you released last year, No Accident?
Well, they're not available in bookshops, so I think you can get them at Waterstones if you order, but it's mainly through the internet, through the obvious places like Amazon and places like
Fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. And when you have a book online, you mentioned it being in e-form, it must be so tempting as an author to go on and have a look at the reviews and see what people have said. But then if you do get a negative review, that must be really hard to take, isn't it?
Well, touch wood, so far they've all been very positive, and it's been quite nice. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to please everybody. Not everybody wants to read crime fiction. Not everybody is going to like what they read. So, you know, if people genuinely don't like it, that's fine. You know, you just learn to take the rough with the smooth. Mm. If I could please everybody all of the time, I probably wouldn't be sitting here now. I'd probably be a millionaire somewhere.
Too right.
Be like Peter James, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it could happen. He started off somewhere, didn't he?
Well, they all do. Yeah.
Exactly, Robert. You mentioned before this idea of writing the crime novels came through your work as an environmental health officer, investigating kind of workplace accidents. Was that a big part of your job then? Because that must be really tough when you turn up somewhere and something has happened.
Yes. But like I say, the other side to food was the health and safety at work, which is where the work accidents come in. But yeah, I was... I investigated, I think, 5 or 6 fatal work accidents.
Oh, really?
Everything from an 8-year-old child that drowned in a swimming pool... a 16-year-old venture scout that was run over by a trailer.
Wow.
You know, some quite...
harrowing stuff.
Yes, it is. But it's like all... I suppose it's like the police. You're a professional and you have to sort of suspend your emotions and do the job. You know, you're there to find out what happened. And, you know, there's a family sitting behind this person that's died who want to know what happened, you know, and why.
Yeah.
So you've got a duty to them. So yeah, you know, you save all the emotions till you finish work that day and deal with it then.
Get the job done.
Yeah.
It's been lovely meeting you. Thank you so much for coming in. Robert Crouch from Eastbourne, environmental health officer turned crime writer. His first novel, No Accident, was published last year. And the new novel is called No Bodies. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you.